Hey guys, Charlie here. A quick reminder before we kick off today's episode that Will and I are coming back to the live stage April 7th at the Basement Comedy Club in Melbourne. We're doing another TOEFOP Live. It'll be me, it'll be Will, it'll be special guest Deeksie, most likely, and you'll want to be there. There's a link in the episode description, so check it out once you've listened to this awesome show.
A listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
Everyone relax. This is TOEFOP. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson. Hello and thank you for watching. You can be watching. We're in the studio again.
Yeah. And if you want to watch, you sign up to our Patreon to do that. Patreon.com/ everyone relax. Let's get the plugs out of the way straight away.
Yeah, why not? Welcome to the show. You can, because I mean, well, you want to know straight away where you can find the video content if you want to watch the video content.
Do you think
it's no
someone
good waiting until the end and go, oh, now I can watch it?
Do you think anyone though was just listening to that intro and they were like, I have to, like straight away, I have to see this. That intro was so hot. I have to say,
they sound hot today.
Yeah,
they sound. It feels like Charlie's rocking. See, there's periods where we've spoken about this before, but where your beard will be all kind of the same length, and then there are periods of your, you know, particularly the recent last couple of years where your mustache falls.
I'm mustache all the way at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to say. You're definitely prominently mustached at the moment, but you've still got like your 5 o'clock shadow in the background.
I'm not confident enough to go solo mustache.
No.
I think if I had to have like
you're out the front of the group, but like you've still got the group there, like doing backup vocals.
Who's that actor? He was in like The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. He played like the comedian in Watchmen. What's that actor? Mm-hmm. Do you know who I'm talking about? Amy.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh,
that's my style icon for, because he has a mustache, but he tempers the mustache with a bit of stubble, because it's otherwise it's a real statement. It's
I find his name so hard to remember,
and his face, and like, his career.
No, because every time I see him in something, I'm like, oh yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
but then I'm like, who is he?
Yeah,
and that name doesn't sound like
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Morgan. Sounds like a car dealership
or like a chain of cinemas from the 80s. Where'd you go and see this? Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
You know, two local cinemas that amalgamated.
Jeffrey's the nickname. It's just the Dean Morgans.
Yeah. He's the son of the Dean Morgans.
Yeah,
Jeffrey didn't want to go into the business. Wanted to be on the screen, not working a cinema.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan or Henry Cavill in when he did Mission Impossible. They're my two. That's the kind of, because that's, I think these days, if you're going to have a mustache, unless you're a full barista hipster, like, I'm owning this. I want to look like Patches O'Houlihan, like a World War II pilot or something like that. But I don't have the style or the haircut to back up that kind of mo. I want it to look like I haven't prepared, even though I have prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're doing a good job of that.
Oh,
I think
thanks,
you've
mate.
Absolutely nailed, and I think this is absolutely the right look for you, because on first glance, it doesn't look like you're trying as hard as you clearly are. Like once you start to unpick it a little, you're like, there's a lot of style going on here.
Yeah.
And Charlie's in good nick. He's dressing to accentuate that. You know, he's either got ankle socks or no, like I saw his ankles.
Japanese, it's the tapered Japanese tracksuit pants.
Yeah,
they're the best.
I mean, once you start to actually, I'm like, look at my little old friend. He's all grown up. He's making style choices.
I am all about like, and I have no idea about fashion, like.
Well, you didn't, but I feel like you've stumbled. Uniqlo,
and this is like a free plug, Uniqlo and Muji.
Get on board, Uniqlo and Muji.
Uniqlo and Muji. And I've just discovered Muji when I was overseas.
I've never even heard of Muji.
Mate, it's amazing. You go into a Muji store and it's like, what is this? It's like a Bed Bath & Beyond, but they sell clothes and the clothes are all like oversized and all the staff are super cool Japanese.
I do need to point out this is not an ad for Muji because this feels now like, am I in an ad for Muji? Did I agree to a Muji sponsorship that... Am I even saying it right?
Muji? I don't know. I literally discovered the store like 5 days ago.
How is it spelled?
M-U-J-I.
M-U-J-I.
I think that's right.
Probably.
Amy, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. There's one about 2 minutes away from the studio here.
So okay. Have they just like popped up all of a sudden and old men here have only started noticing it or like?
I definitely only noticed it in the last year or so.
Okay. Mm. I said last year or so. Mm-hmm. So we are a bit behind the times. But have you been inside one?
I have. I went right after our last recording, actually.
Mate, the Muji factor. Get on board, Muji. Buy stock in Muji. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, they do seem like a Muji company.
I think it's also sustainable as well. It's like
you said sustainable with air quotations because
every
what?
Big industry
just for me?
No.
Like, that's for the video, remember. We're being filmed as you do your little – there goes our Muji sponsorship that we were going to get.
No, they are sustainable. The people at Muji have told me it is all. I think they're made out of like bamboo or something, which is meant to be more recyclable or sustainable.
I like
or
the
something.
Feel of bamboo, like clothes and stuff. I've worn some bamboo.
It's a Muji t-shirt.
Is that bamboo?
I don't know. Oh. Maybe.
I've got some bamboo underwear, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that feel like? Like your balls are being caned.
It's like made out of
stiff bamboo. It's not soft.
Processed haven't refined bamboo. It in any way. It's literally straight out of the garden into the underpants.
I get shocking splinters in my scrot. Oh my God. But
it is. On the upside, a lot more oral sex from pandas. So, you know.
Well, that is the thing about bamboo, I believe, is it's like a more breathe. Like, you know, it's didn't Planet of the Apes teach us that like many apes strong like they by holding sticks? I think that's the thing about bamboo is it is both lightweight but also incredibly strong. So that's what you need in your underwear. Lightweight but
incredibly strong. How long we've probably talked about this before, but how long do you think you hold on to a pair of underwear before you like move? Like, are you good at moving it out of the underwear?
I'm that Seinfeld joke where literally until it falls off my body.
Yeah.
To the point where I'd say that I don't even throw underwear out. Gemma throws it out. She will make an executive decision and just like toss stuff
out. Just one day it's gone.
It's gone.
And she'll just assume you'll never miss it.
Yeah, and she's right.
And then one day, you're not crying in the corner going, where are you?
It's the magic pudding. Open the drawer. Yeah. It's like, wow, Gemma, I'm like... This is a magic drawer. There's new underwear in here all the time. She's like, no, I threw the old stuff out. Because I guess, I mean, no one ever sees it, right? Like, I'm not parading, you know, I'm not like single. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm not parading around in it. So it's the least seen clothing I own. So who cares if there's a few holes in it?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I change mine over very regularly, I got to say. I quite like a little underwear freshen up. I'll go and buy myself a whole bunch of new ones and then I'll get rid of the same amount of, like there's a real sort of like, I might go and get myself like a 5-pack and a 3-pack is normally the way that I will.
From Target or something. Are you getting good undies?
No, good undies.
Okay, right.
So like.
Can you get a 3-pack of good undies?
Yeah, you can get a 3-pack. Normally of like a twist on the, like, so the 5-pack essentially is what I'm looking at my standard
day-to-day undies.
And then there's like maybe something a little fancier on the band or something.
Boxer
that I've
briefs?
Put into the...
Or bikini bottoms. What are they called, the little ones?
I don't know. Like, they're not open. Like, they're the ones that are in between...
Boxes and briefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like shorts.
Yeah.
Like skin-tight shorts.
Skin-tight shorts.
Yeah, they're the ones I like best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breathable.
Made out of bamboo. Cane your balls. Muji.
Okay.
They sell underwear. They do sell underwear at Muji.
They do?
Yeah. They sell everything.
So what, I was going to say, what do they sell at Muji? So, again, this is not an ad for Muji.
Well, that's why it's so confusing is because when I walked past it, I was like, oh, it's homewares because there's like literally Tupperware and back scrubbers and looks like Bed Bath & Beyond. But then you go in and it's men's and women's clothing, but it's that cool, like Japanese fashion is very much like, I don't know, it's like, you know, you see a film where it's like, in the future, like everyone wears like robes and stuff. It's kind of got this like oversized kind of, I don't know, it just looks and feels different than anything
it's
else.
It's very hip and modern.
Right.
And like I think that whole style, I think Japan is one of those countries that it rarely ever goes out of fashion. They always feel like they're on the cutting edge of experimentations around music and art and electronics and like life in general. Like a lot of the time you're like, you know, things when trends come through, they can be, you know, Japanese-led, right? But it does feel like at the moment that a lot of the hip young culture in the world, I think we've talked about this before, but it feels like to me anyway, when I look at it from the outside, not a young person in it, so much of it feels Asian-led, like, you know, inspired by, like, those hipper, younger, emerging styles and emerging...
Well, Uniqlo, I went to, before I bought all this stuff at Muji, I went to Uniqlo to get some T-shirts, and it was packed. Like, and it wasn't just, like, it was very mixed demographic, and they had just released a range, and I'm going to muck this up, but a very famous graphic artist, Japanese graphic artist, a range of T-shirts, and there was also... some Basquiat and Warhol prints as well they'd licensed, and they were not moving at all, but all these kind of like manga or anime inspired kind of prints were flying off the shelf. In fact, I saw these awesome like cargo pants on a mannequin. I couldn't find them anywhere. And then I saw another, like a young Japanese guy, and he was looking at them as well. And we were eyeing each other off because we knew like, well, they're not on the shelf, so they must be down to low in stock. And so we both raced over to the attendant, and he was about 20 years younger than me as well. And we're like, are there any of those pants left? And she said, I think we have one or two out the back. And I was looking at him, and he was looking at me, and I'm like, is he a small or a medium? Because I'm a medium across the board. And she came back and she said, we only have a small. And I was like, God damn it. I'm going to have to go get an eating disorder to make those pants fit.
This is the problem with this podcast, right? Like, there's no market for 250, you know, 40, late 40s, 50-year-old men sitting around talking about, like, how much they love emerging fashion. We should be, like, leaning into the opposite of that, where we're, like, we're complaining about, oh, why don't bloody kids wear Stussy, we're growing up?
Hard yakka.
Why can't I go into a hard yakka shop and get some bloody hard yakka gear?
Well, I do, actually. I must admit, I have bought some hard yakka.
I was going to say, that was, as soon as I was saying it, I was like, yeah, I would like some hard yakka.
It's funny. Speaking of being middle-aged, I now qualify for. I had a free middle-aged health check because you know I'm in the kill zone.
Yeah,
there's so many things that can kill me now.
Mate, wait until you're 50.
Well,
there's a whole new draw though. Like, I mean, because I've been through what you've been through, and I want to talk about it with you. Don't get me wrong. Nothing that I love more at this age than talking about going to the
what's
doctor,
wrong with me?
Medical problems. But when you get to 50, you think you're like, oh, yeah, I get this. Yeah. This is what we do each year. We check my blood pressure.
It gets worse.
Blah, blah, blah.
50.
Oh, at 50, they're like, oh, there's a whole new draw. What else do you want to do?
Oh, really?
Yeah. How do you feel about shingles?
I've had shingles. I had shingles as a 16-year-old.
Shut up.
Can I tell you, we were on a camping trip.
Chickenpox.
No, because I had chickenpox. I had the old man chickenpox as a 16-year-old.
As a 16-year-old.
On a camping trip with a bunch of mates and a bunch of girls.
Oh, my God.
So there is nothing that turns a girl on more
this
than you
like
emerging from your tent
movie.
Covered in pussy little like spots all over your body. I had no idea what was wrong with me. I just remember we'd been camping for a couple of days. I got out of my tent and I went down to the river where everyone was swimming and I took my shirt off and all my friends were like, oh, gross, what is that? And I had these like pussy spots all over my body and I had to go to the doctor and they said, oh, yeah, you've got shingles. Mm. And my mother said, isn't that like an old person's disease? And it's like, yes, but sometimes it can happen to a teenager. And it took like 3 weeks to treat. Amy's nodding. Have you had shingles as well, your fellow teenage
older
shingler?
My had shingles in like 2020.
Right. Really? How old's
like
your brother?
COVID era. He's 3 years older than me. So at the time he would have been like 27, 28.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the cool kids. Like the younger you get it, the cooler you are, I believe. That's what that was the medical opinion, is the earlier you get it.
Was it?
No.
Because the medical opinion from my doctor was, you don't want to get this. And here's a vaccine that you can now take to prevent you from getting this.
It was gross and disgusting. And I think there was a chance I could get it again.
Yeah.
I believe.
There's a vaccine that you can get at 50.
Yeah, right.
I recommend it. Okay, so tell me about you. So you went to your checkup.
So my GP said you qualify now for middle-age health check. Yep. Stop shopping at Muji. You're a joke.
A middle-age life check. Yeah. It's a building next door.
Midlife crisis check.
So you go in and you get your health check, and then they go in and assess your fashion, see if it's appropriate, your life choices, where you're at in general. So we're just going to – 2 meetings. The second one you're going to find a lot harder than the first, I reckon.
So they did everything. Uh-huh. And I've talked about like where I live. My pharmacist is this young, attractive female. And so it's made it really hard whenever I need to get like hemorrhoid cream or anything like that. I just feel so bad about going in there with my old man problems. But my GP is also like a young, attractive woman. And I know it shouldn't, you know, she's a doctor and she's a professional, but for some reason, me bringing in my middle age ailments just makes me so much more embarrassed and self-conscious. So she was running me through the battery of tests. I was going to have the blood test, but then also the fecal tests. And I was like, what, the what? She's like, yeah. And she said, look, it's no one likes talking about it, but you're going to have to take a sample of your feces 3 days in a row and then, you know, ship that off to the pathologist to get tested. And I was like, but like, how do I catch it? And she was like, well, with the Tupperware container that you can throw out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so that was,
firstly, the word can there is not necessary, that you will throw out.
No, I
can
tell you. Oh, no, no.
You will throw out.
I hope you're enjoying the lunch I bought it for you today, Will.
I'm never like eating anything that's prepared at your house ever again.
But you have to do it in sequential days, right? So they need a 3-day window to analyze. And I think it was like day one, I'd got the sample, and then I had completely forgotten, like day two, I was on my way to the bathroom to make a delivery and I was like, oh God, like, but I didn't have time to get the Tupperware container and I didn't know if this was going to be the only delivery for the day.
Exactly.
So I was in the bathroom going like, what can I grab to catch?
Because, I mean, you've got to get it in this window because what 3 days in a row are you ever going to poo again?
Oh, no, but I didn't want to have to start again.
I mean, it's the easiest thing to start
but
again.
But if I inconvenience myself in this one moment, then there's only one more day of horrendous poo catching to go through. If I miss this window, I have to start again. It's another 3 days.
Yep.
So I weighed up. Do I just grab like...
Risk versus reward.
Yeah. So what I did is I actually, there was a old, I guess like Gemma had got a makeup delivery. There was an old cardboard box.
Great.
And so I managed to rip the lid off that and get that in place. Right. But it was...
Just like a little fecal MacGyver.
It was disgusting. It was like
disgusting.
The worst pizza delivery ever seen like in your life.
It put me off pizza.
It put
and
me...
And makeup.
And cardboard. And bathrooms. And life.
And myself.
So I managed to get all that done, the blood work done, and then I went in for my, they said, look, if you don't hear from us, that's all good.
Yeah.
And so I heard from them and I'm like, oh that's not good.
Should say, if you don't hear from us, that's all good. If you do hear from us, that doesn't mean it's all bad.
No, well, they did say it is a non-urgent follow-up consultation. So, she was going through my blood work.
We've been looking at your samples and the second one has cardboard right through her and makeup.
And it appears, I don't know how they knew this, but it looked like a bite had been taken out of it. At the time of doing this, I wasn't drinking and I was being very healthy and stuff. So all the blood work was very good. Mm-hmm. No bowel cancer. All that was very good.
Only problem with that is... Like that's now in the record as your sort of base
that's your baseline,
level.
Yeah.
So if you're even slightly off that next time you go back, it's going to feel like your health's very much deteriorating.
I have a bigger problem or a bigger fish to fry because she said, look, all that is normal, normal.
Steam that fish for that's one of the problems.
Cholesterol. Yeah. Cholesterol is fine.
Yep.
But she said, there is a enzyme in your liver and she's gone. If that was like 2 marks higher, I'd say you had liver disease.
Oh.
Or no, kidney disease.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh. And she said, ordinarily, like, that's the results we'd get from someone who is incredibly, like, obese or blah, blah, blah. And so I said, what is the enzyme? And she said, it's creatinine.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like.
It's like they sometimes have that in, like, protein powders and stuff, right?
Yeah. And so I've had this issue before where about 5 years ago when I was training really hard, I thought I was anemic because I was really pale and weak and I felt really ill. And I went through a whole battery of tests with the doctor and she couldn't find what was wrong. And then what we realized was I was taking this supplement, this protein powder that had creatine in it, which creatine is bodybuilders use it because it retains fluid around the muscles. So aesthetically, it gives you a bigger look. So bodybuilders before competitions will take lots of creatine.
Yep.
But the way it works is you have to drink about like 8 liters of water while you're taking it because you need to flush the enzyme through your body. Otherwise it cakes up over your kidneys and poisons you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't take that supplement anymore. And I'd been going to like the local hippie shop and getting like the all natural plant protein, pea protein, double checking that it had no, like it's literally just derived from a plant. There's not even any sweeteners or anything added. So I said to her, do you think it could be the protein powder? And she said, well, how much are you having? And I said, well, I don't really take protein powders anymore. Like after a workout, I don't really have protein powders, but I do use it as a kind of cooking additive. So if I'm having a smoothie or something, I might put in a scoop of protein. And she's like, and how often are you doing that? And I said, I probably have about 5 smoothies, 6 smoothies a week. And she's like, I think you're having too much protein on top of also eating
because you're not protein-rich food. deficient in other ways.
No, that's
so
right.
So you're putting protein on
protein
top of
on top
protein.
Of protein.
Yeah.
Which, like, according to every, like, you know,
podcast or trainer.
Yeah, exactly.
Every it's like protein. It's reel the, you flick through.
Yeah, it's the building blocks of life. And it's like you need more protein.
According to the Liver King.
Eat more protein.
my personal nutritionist.
So she's told me to quit protein. Yeah. Organic protein. Like
yeah,
from
unnecessary. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Just the protein that you're getting from your everyday living.
Yeah. But then the funny thing was I talked to my brother about it, who's, you know, he's 14 years older than me, and he said that's an issue for him as well.
Genetics.
Well, that's what I'm wondering if maybe, because not that it will necessarily go down that path, but that my father, you know, part of the thing that led to his illness was it was his intestines and the way his body was processed and broke down toxins and stuff like that. So I'm like, oh shit, like, is that the path I'm heading on? Like, you know, I'm in this stage of like, did it have protein in it? Like, does that have an extra protein? Because a lot of the stuff, like health foods, you'll eat health foods, but then you'll look at the ingredients and it's like, oh yeah, they've whacked some like protein supplement or something into that food.
I have a thing called diverticulitis or something. Anyway, it's in your bowel. It's like just a little like hole basically. And so when people have issues with it.
It's called a bum hole.
Yeah, it's like a hole. And shit, stuff comes out of
Uranus.
It.
It's
for real. No, it's in like the bowel tube. And like essentially it looks like what you'd imagine like a smoker's lung would look like, where a bit has like kind of died or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, but basically people who have trouble with this, I don't have trouble with it, but like if it can, it's one of those things that like this where you're like, oh, here's something that you need to keep your eye on rather than something that's giving you trouble at the moment. But basically people can get things caught in those holes. And if it's working healthily enough, it'll like a seed or a nut, a bit of a nut or whatever, like can get caught in there. And then that causes you issues and pain and whatever. Normally, if it works fine, it just pushes it back out and you move on. But since I found out that information,
no whole grains,
like all I'm thinking about is this things getting caught in these, and it's very unlikely. And I think I'd have to eat like a bag of nuts. You know what I mean?
I heard the same thing from Jem's been getting way into nutrition, and she said the same thing to me as well. Because you're always like, oh, multigrain, whole wheat, like that's the best stuff. But then what Jem's been reading is it's actually can be really bad for you and can get stuck in like little pockets in your gut and like ripped tears and all that kind of stuff. It's like, there are so many, like, who do you know who to trust?
I mean, also, who
don't
do you
eat
know
too
who
much
to
fruit.
Trust.
Like,
because they
no
change
fruit.
Their mind all the time.
Yeah. Eggs are bad for you. Eggs are good for you. Yolks are
great
bad
for you.
The whites are good for you. Like,
eggs.
Don't eat anything.
Yeah.
Like, what? What are those guys who just only believe in air, like eating air or something?
No, I mean, but that's a bad one as well. But there is that, like, every couple of years, there seems to be this idea that one thing or the other, or fast, or eat every. Like, I certainly remember a period of time where the secret was having like 8 small meals during the day. And then now it's like, eat between like 3:15 and 3:19. That's it. But you can eat as much as you want. Can eat like an entire cake. As long as you eat it in those 4 minutes, everything's going to be fine. You'll live to 140.
I just want them to bring in like something so out of the blue. Imagine if they said, you know what, we got it wrong with tobacco.
Yeah.
Smoking.
Oh, yeah, smoking. Great.
Actually great.
Actually
for
really
you.
Great for you again.
Really, really
We've
good for
got
you.
Got some new research.
I was just in Thailand, had a little bit of a holiday in the time we had off.
Thailand. Had you ever been to Thailand before?
Yes, but not since I was a backpacker. So this was a completely different experience, like going as a grown up with a kid as opposed to being a little scumbag backpacker. Just, I think the first time I went there was my first overseas trip of my own with a mate and I. We just saved up over summer, worked summer jobs. And I remember we did the maximum, the 3 months that, you know, you could legally stay there.
Stay there for 3 months?
Off about $2,000 or something like that. I mean, it was 1997.
And you were there for 3 months?
Yeah. So he
in Thailand?
Yeah. So we went over and we backpacked all over. And then we just sort of settled on Koh Samui on this little beach. And I remember, well, we were paying like, I think for our accommodation, it was like $13 a week or something. And it was literally just a shed with a hole, like no running water.
A glory hole?
Or, no, a toilet hole.
Okay. Well, I guess.
Okay. A bucket. There's a bucket with a little smaller bucket next to it that you would wash your and dirty business down.
A piece of cardboard.
A piece of cardboard. In case you need a sample. But I remember sort of staying there. It was actually quite funny. We stayed there, and this was, you know, pre, like, email existed, but it was pre anything else, really, no. Mm-hmm. And so I was just writing postcards to family and stuff, and then it got to a point where we just ran out of money. We had traveler's checks, remember those?
I do.
And we ran out of traveler's checks.
Do they still exist, do you reckon? Is there to have...
Bank
checks
still exist.
There'd be some people who are still holding on to traveler's checks as a...
What, as a legacy...
I mean, just because, you know, like, currency. As you said, like in the same way as there's people who've used checks all their life and there'll continue to be checks until those people
It would be so inconvenient now in the era of like ATMs everywhere to take like a traveler's check to a bank and get a handful of cash. Like it's just, why would you need to do it? Just get a credit card.
I mean, even like I never mastered checks anyway. Like I knew how to write one, but I never really knew how to balance my checkbook or any. I never quite. And then that kind of technology, luckily.
What, I don't even know what you're saying right now. What does that mean?
I mean,
balance a checkbook.
Well, I don't know either.
Don't you just write a check and it comes out of your account?
Well, you were meant to balance your. I don't know, what? Charles. This is my point. And I was in a crossover period where, like, I was always like, I'm going to have to learn how to do this properly at some stage because I'm just writing checks and not balancing
my writing checks
book.
That your body couldn't cash? Is that what was going on? You were becoming a kickboxer or something?
But then it just obviously, you know, modern technology overtook the need to have to do that anymore.
I mean, it's kind of funny. Like I was thinking about, because Iona was with us on this trip and I was like, oh, she's going to get to a point where she's going to want to, you know, go explore the world and stuff. And like, it's so much, it feels safer in so many ways. Like you can stay in touch at any point. And but I literally just jumped on a plane to Southeast Asia and my mum was like, all right, well, I guess I'll hear from you in 3 months.
Yeah.
And sent one postcard and that was it. I don't even recall like phoning her.
I know. Can you imagine if Iona says to you, oh, yeah, I'm going overseas for 3 months and part of it is I'm not going to be in touch.
Yeah. You'll get one scrawled like postcard from me to let you know that I'm okay. Yeah. And then you'll just have to assume that everything is all right. But we got to the point where we ran out of money. And so me and my mate James were like, oh, we've got to get back to Bangkok because our flight was leaving in a few days. But we had like 3 days to try and survive Bangkok on no money. And because we'd gone to a Jesuit school, we knew there was a where they train priests. It's like a seminary.
A dojo?
No. A seminary in Bangkok, a Jesuit seminary. And we're like, well, we're like part of the brotherhood, man. Yeah. Like we went to a Jesuit school. And so we contacted them. And coincidentally, a priest that I knew from back in Melbourne was at the seminary. And they're like,
fled to Thailand for some reason.
I don't know why, of all the places. So he was like, yeah, you know, come by and have dinner. And so in our minds, we're like, oh, this is great. We'll go to the seminary.
Yeah.
You know, it's like very Christian to kind of welcome in the poor, you're starving. They'll give us accommodation. They'll feed
us. Welcome, my brother.
And so we turned up with
the prodigal son has returned.
Yeah. We turned up with all our stuff, like so sure that we were going to get like, you know, the best treatment. And he was like, no, we don't have any accommodation for you. No. Like the rooms are full. Like we've got students here. And so we were like, but you know, Jesus and all that.
Yeah. What about Jesus though?
And he was like, sorry, kids, you're on your own. So we then had to work out. I think we had something like maybe $100 between us.
Okay.
Which is not bad, but we still had to pay for accommodation and food.
Yeah.
And so we went to Patpong Road, which is like the red light district.
Okay.
And we found like the cheapest.
Made some money. Made some more money.
Found the cheapest hotel we could find. Like it was right above like the markets.
Is that where the cheapest hotels are? Because I
mean, it's where people go to disappear. Yeah. Like it's
or B, disappeared.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need like a passport or a license to get a room. You can just go in there.
Yeah.
And I remember we were sleeping in like one single bed that was had blood stains on it. I don't know what had gone down on this bed, but it wasn't good. And I remember the first like night just hearing like screaming and fighting and could have been gunshots. Maybe it was a car backfiring. It felt like gunshots though. And just thinking, we're just going to stay in this hotel room for the next 3 days. We're not going to leave until our plane departs. So this was not that trip. This was a, let's have a nice luxury holiday where...
I didn't feel like you should recreate that experience for your family.
Part of me did have this kind of guilt. Like it felt very White Lotus. Like we turned up at a really nice
resort.
Nice resort. And, you know, you'd sort of have this guilt because you're like, oh God, like, you know, are we exploiting the locals because, you know, they've built this gigantic kind of... on this beautiful island. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the same time, people need jobs. And so it was this kind of wrestle and it was a great holiday. It was a great time. Mm-hmm. But I did find that I was having this guilt about like, should I be exploring more? Should I be, you know, seeing the sights or, because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I just wanted to read my book.
Ignore their culture and nature and environment and stay in a hotel that could have been anywhere but was on a beautiful beach and much more affordable than other places.
Exactly. That was 100% what I wanted to do. But it was funny. So weed has been legalized in Thailand, has been legal since COVID, right?
Tick, 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 right? Isn't there like a conservative government now?
Well, this is what I was
going to
say.
I've got no interest in going to Thailand, but the small amount of interest that was sparked in my mind of going to Thailand was also coincidentally when they extinguished. Had legalized weed and has been since
and
extinguished
it's
again.
Everywhere too. Like there are dispensaries like every 2 feet. And like, it's funny too, because I was saying to Jem, like you go to LA or Toronto or anywhere where it's legal and the dispensaries, like they're all quite, you know, I guess in order to win over the kind of more conservative members of society, they've got to be ultra respectable and ultra clean, like an Apple store.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we are going to be cleaner and beyond reproach in every way. Whereas in Thailand, it's like, man, you want to get fucked up? Come to my place.
Yeah.
And they've all got names like, get high, man. Like, good stuff. You know, green, baby. Like, it's just, there's no classing it up. It's like, we know what you want, you scumbag. So I went into a few of the places and I was asking them, like, is this going to be an issue when they crack down? And they're like, good luck. There are so many. They'll probably crack down on a bunch, but... they are literally everywhere. Like even one of the islands we went to, which was, apart from my hotel, there was very little development.
Yeah.
But I went for a ride around on a scooter and they had a dispensary. So they seem to feel like it'll be a thing of, it'll go to medical.
Yeah.
And then that'll be pretty easy to work your way around. Like you'll get some kind of...
I know, but I'm just beyond wanting to work my way around things.
Yeah, you just want it to be legal, right?
I just want it to be legal.
And everyone was so happy.
Right.
Like when it was legal and there was no trouble and it's not like alcohol where it makes people super aggressive. But so what happened though? Because I was reading the paper to find out like... because at first, having been in Thailand back when, you know, you go to jail for 10 years for it, you feel a bit like... is this a trap? Like, am I going to get sprung?
Yes.
And so I read everything to make sure you could travel with it. It's all fine. It's all legal. But then I read this article in the paper and it was this article about how the Conservative government, they're passing a bill which is going to make it illegal apart from medicinal purposes. And apparently the key motivating event to make it illegal was that Coldplay played a concert in Bangkok.
The band Coldplay.
The band Coldplay played a gig in Bangkok and large sections of the audience were complaining about the smell of weed wafting across the audience. And so they received enough complaints that the Conservative government were like, okay, we're going to shut this shit down. Weed is not for fun. It's only for medicinal purposes.
Oh, man, but here's the thing. As someone who uses it for medicinal purposes... I can also tell you, it is also fun.
Mm.
Like, I mean, those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive to each other. And I miss the days of, because you can't, I mean, look, and it's good that you can't smoke indoors. Of course it is. Like, but when I first started out in entertainment, people would smoke indoors. People would smoke on stage.
On
you
planes.
Know, like, on planes, yeah. I flew to Canada once.
First time I went to Thailand, there was people smoking on the plane.
Yeah, people smoking. So, like, it was just a different time. It was a different environment. And... like, I remember going to see Cypress Hill at the Enmore and somebody, like, passing around, you know, a joint in the mosh pit of that. And I was just like, this is better.
Yeah.
Like, this is more fun because of this. And then some squares who've gone along to their Coldplay gig. Yeah. Now, I understand. It is, I think that it can be an unpleasant smell for people who, like, you know, alcohol for whatever its sins, you know, often, unless someone has excessively used it, you don't need to smell it on them and be triggered by it in that way. But, like, weed smoke smells like weed smoke.
It but guess is, what? Now you can get oil that is odor-free. So if that's the big issue.
So I think that should be that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because clearly it's in this situation, I don't think the people were complaining at, what, that they weren't into it enough because they were too chilled out or, like, you know, they were playing yellow. Yeah. They were too mellow on yellow. You know, like, it was the smell, clearly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right? So there just should be a rule saying, hey, only edibles and oils only for public events.
Yeah.
No, you know, no smells. Like in the same way as like no vapes, no smells.
I just don't know that once the genie's out of the bottle, and because, you know, the fear is like it's always that slippery slope argument, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's a gateway drug and blah, blah, blah. But it's been legal for, I think, at least 12 months and there hasn't been a significant uptake in like any crime or deaths or what. I mean, look, the road rules over there are, you know, random at best. Like, I don't think it's really affecting. I don't think, like, whether or not someone's high is going to affect whether or not there's going to be an accident over there because, like, people drive like maniacs anyway. But
I'm not sure how solid that logic is. You're like, people drive pretty weirdly here anyway, so I guess if they're high, it probably doesn't make a difference. No, I would argue, perhaps, as an outsider who's never been there, so not an informed opinion, but just based on the theory of if someone is already doing something badly and you add
weed
to that situation, that it keeps it at an even level or doesn't make, I mean, I think it still would probably make it worse, right?
I guess so. Well, I don't know. I mean,
I think people need to be careful around, like, I mean, at the moment, the weed, like, smoking laws in Australia are ridiculous. Like, you know, like, because it can stay in your system for ages.
Mm.
You can not be impaired and, you know, test positive, all these sort of things.
Well, they don't test for impairment. They just test for the presence, right?
So there's got to be a midway point where, like, you can go, okay, this person is, because people shouldn't drive when they're impaired by weed or anything else. I think, like, as a society, we can agree that that's a good blanket position for us to have. Whatever it is that you're impaired by, your phone or weed or alcohol or whatever, we need to go, we have some rules around that you can't do that because it's bad that you're impaired when you're driving.
Yeah. But or walk into Parliament House, for instance.
But there shouldn't be a moral judgment really in what it is that's impairing you, right?
I guess that's what I was saying is like, because the, you know, that argument of the slippery slope, whatever, is based around some pretty old stereotypes around weed, you know, and kind of the scare campaigns of the 50s and stuff. And I think that there is now like a here we are speaking for the youth again.
Nice, but, good. Yeah.
But the way like the generational attitudes have changed, like I'd say that when they do polling and stuff, like weed is, most people consider it should be legalized. Like they don't see it as any different to alcohol. Like obviously there's, you know, different levels of drugs and stuff and there's some that are more harmful, but weed is not one of those drugs, that class A ones that needs to be restricted.
No. I mean, I was joking about this with somebody the other day. It may end up in my stand-up show. But anyway, I'm going to tell you just what I said, which is that I realize, because this is just true, that I'm technically at the moment sober because I've stopped drinking alcohol and I haven't taken any other sort of recreational drug of any kind. And because my weed use has been reclassified to medicinal.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm technically, I take a medicine, right? But otherwise, I am living a sober life. I'm like, I like this. Like,
I guess that is true. Like, if the medication was like, I don't know, some kind of painkiller, like a prescribed painkiller, and you didn't drink, you didn't smoke weed, didn't take anything else. If someone asks you, "Are you sober?"
Yeah,
do you say yes?
I mean,
you would, wouldn't you?
If you're just popping one oxy a day.
I mean, but it's funny. It's like this double standard, isn't it? Where it's like, it's like weed's not a drug. What is? No. You know, like coffee's definitely a drug. It's all, they're all drugs.
Oh, yeah. As I sit here having my fourth coffee of the day, I go, I'm sober. I'm not addicted to any drugs. I don't know what you're talking about.
There is that. Have you ever read anything by, I think his name's Dr. Carl Hart? He's a.
Dr. Carl Kruzelnitsky.
Not Dr. Carl Kruzelnitsky. Dr. Carl Hart, he's a expert in addiction. He's written a bunch of books, but he has these very kind of...
read the first one, could not stop reading them. Had to read all of them.
Progressive views on... Like, he thinks that all drugs should be legal, and his argument is that...
Man. His argument, Dr. Carl.
Dr. Carl.
Not the Dr. Carl.
Carl with a C.
Not Dr. Carl of the Colourful Shirts and Science Program.
No, American...
Not Dr. Carl of Neighbours.
Not no, fame, the third Dr. Carl.
The third Dr. Carl.
His argument is that everyone's physiology is completely different, yeah, and drugs that may affect you in a negative way may be very helpful to someone else. And he's written a couple of books. I've read one of them where he sort of travelled around the world and spent time with, like, he was saying, for instance, like, it boggles some people's mind that someone could take heroin, for instance.
Of course.
But for some people, like, a little bit of opiates actually enables them to do whatever the job is. Or amphetamines can help, people who have, like, focus, you know, mm-hmm, pilots or whatever do their jobs. And he was saying, if in a mature society what we'd be doing is kind of assessing each person on a medical point of view and saying, well, these are bad for you and you need mm-hmm to, these should be like your controlled substances, but we shouldn't be classifying them all as one thing. And he said, if you're someone who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't take drugs, but you drink coffee, but you look down your nose at someone who does drugs, well, guess what? You have an addiction because caffeine is a drug and it affects you, it just affects you in a way that makes you happy and brings you pleasure.
And there's a social acceptability.
And a social acceptability.
Yeah, you can pop into every third place and get a coffee in the way that you can't pop into every third place.
Get a bag of Coke. Yeah. Well, he was saying, like, I think the last interview I heard him do, he said that he and his wife, he's been married for a long time, they went to Peru or somewhere in South America to get the purest cocaine they could find, like this little brick of like super pure cocaine. And he said they were having this like couples week where he said they'd just do like a little bit of really strong coke and they would like talk and they'd have this amazing sex. And he said it was just, they used it like a tool for their relationship. And he said there was...
That sounds horrible. That sounds like one of the worst.
We should start a business together. Just hear me out. We'll start a business together. It'll be great. We'll take Japanese fashion and we'll combine it with homewares.
You know what?
We'll call it Muji.
We will go and see 24-hour DJ party in Las Vegas. I'll buy tickets online right now.
But he was sort of describing it as like, because the cocaine he got was so pure. He said it didn't have the edgy, kind of greedy effects that people associate with cocaine. He said it was like, it's a very different high. And he's like, if we legalized drugs
artisanal,
and we had a pure, and we had a purity like standards and practices that we have for alcohol, where you can't just like mix something in a bathtub, you know, bikey speed or whatever, then you would probably find that you have like different, people would have different reactions to the different drugs.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's like, where is this podcast gone? This has been quite the adventure.
I don't even know what we're talking about, to be honest. We started off talking about fashion, and now we're talking about legalizing all drugs.
There was two conversations we stopped off air before we started recording because we were like, oh, this is fun for the podcast. We've been having this conversation and then we've not talked about either of those things. We've gone all over the place. Oh my God. Okay. So what I was thinking about before the podcast
was,
how do you think we would go we've done 500, let's say we do 1,000 of these.
Mm.
Do you think we could get to the point, or how accurately could we get to the point where if I was in a soundproof booth, we're sitting like we're sitting right now, but I'm like in something like the Get Smart Kona Silence.
Yeah,
right?
Like one of those dating game shows or something.
Yeah, right? And maybe I can see it, maybe I can't see it.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't really matter. The point is, I cannot hear you.
Yeah.
All I know is that you can. Can you hear me? Or can I hear you? What's more interesting here? If one person can hear the other person, or we can't hear each other? I think we can't hear each other. Like, for the purposes of this thought experiment, you and I cannot hear each other. Charlie's just spilled water on himself distractingly. He's going to rip off his shirt in a minute, get some views on the video. So Is that a Muji shirt?
That's a Muji shirt. Not like waterproof. Water resistant, clearly.
Now we're going to see how a Muji shirt, this is like a stress test of the Muji products.
Well, I do have a Muji hoodie that apparently is water resistant.
Oh, really?
It's easy to wash, water resistant, apparently, yeah. I've got it in my backpack.
When you say water resistant.
I'll wear it on the next step.
What
about
does
that?
Water resistant mean, do you think? It doesn't mean waterproof,
that water doesn't
does
absorb.
It
beads on the surface so you can just brush it off.
Because I have a raincoat that is water resistant, but if you get enough rain,
it just goes
things
through.
Inside it get wet.
Yeah. Water resistant. I mean, what would be a more accurate term?
It'll get in the way between you and water.
Yeah. it's a barrier between you and water.
Water barrier.
Thin barrier.
Thin water barrier.
Slows water down. It doesn't stop it, slows it down. Water inhibitor.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes. Can you grab me a water inhibitor? Yeah, that's good. Okay. A rain inhibitor. Yeah, that's good. A moisture inhibitor. So we're both in, we can't hear what each other are saying, but we can see maybe each other. Yeah, that's good. I like this. How accurate do you think we could be in doing a podcast without being able to hear each other? If we were given the
we're both in like Perspex boxes.
Or there's just a screen maybe in between us.
We can see each other.
We can't hear each other. So we know when the other person is finished talking.
There's no way. Well, we could try it now. I could just walk out there. Do you want me? Should I walk out?
Well, I mean, I got to be able to see you.
You'll be able to see me out there. I'll stand behind Amy. I'll walk out.
Uh-huh.
And so who's starting the conversation?
Okay. Well, when you get out there, you can start the conversation.
Yeah.
And then I'll pick it up when you stop.
Okay.
Stop
All right.
talking.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let's see if this works. I can mostly see a reflection in me, which is going to be honest, freak me out a little bit. But anyway, here we go.
Can you hear me? You can hear me now? Can you hear me? No. Can you not hear me?
You should be able to.
Can you hear me?
No, I can hear you.
Well done. All right, turn the mic off.
I agree with that. I couldn't agree more. I've got to be honest with you. I think that what you're saying is very sensible. And I guess it's probably going to be your turn to continue.
Oh. Did he respond correctly?
He was in the affirmative.
Oh, okay. Of what?
Very generic. Okay. Just an affirmative statement.
All right.
I did agree, though. What was I agreeing to? I was agreeing to, whatever was being said. But I
said I watched the Saints play their match sim, and I was very bullish about their chances this season.
You know what? I said I agree with that. I think so. I was getting the right vibe.
Okay. Well, because I was smiling, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'd started crying or something like that, would you have said, I'm sorry to hear that or something?
I mean, would you have actually been crying, do you think?
I could fake it. I'm an actor. Imagine if I just started crying, Amy's consoling me. You're like, I don't know what's going on. Well, I think he's quitting the show.
It'd be great if you did it like that, whatever that cry was just then. It'd be so good if you were this is my cry. I'm sure if you're an actor, you might cry in character, but maybe you have a cry you go to if you need to cry. This is kind of how I, the little actions that I would give to be a cry.
Go.
It'd be so, no. But
can you cry for me? Oh, that's not crying. That's feeling something. What? Cry. Crying's
what you're doing is not crying. That's not crying.
Is that not crying?
No. I thought you were doing that for fun. That's not how you cry. That is not how you cry.
Hang on, let me think. How do I cry?
Stop it. This is not.
That's crying.
No, it isn't. What are you doing?
How do you cry?
I'm crying now from watching you do this. I thought you were doing a bit. Do you honestly think that's how you cry? Are you? That is not.
That's how I cry. I'm honestly trying to sum up. If you were a director and you're like,
seriously.
Charlie.
No, seriously. Yeah, okay. I'm a big-time director. Who have you always wanted to work with?
Steven Spielberg. You're Steven Spielberg.
Charlie, it's me, Steven Spielberg. Look, we really want you for this part.
What was going on with Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull? What happened? What were you thinking?
Oh, look, to be honest, I just let him use my name a bit. I didn't have a lot to do with it.
No, you just wanted to get payday, right?
Payday. You got to cash in at some stage. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Steven Spielberg has to cash in. And so the guy who invented blockbuster movies has to cash in at some stage.
Well, I didn't get as much of the back end as I needed. So I'm also opening Spielbergers. I got the idea from the Wahlbergs, but I thought two complete
less problematic burger chain.
Yeah, that's right. There's the egg and the tomato, the E.T. burger. We do that one. Love your stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Been following you for years, and I just wanted to offer you this part. There's only one thing. It is obviously the biggest scene in the whole movie is very emotional, and it does depend on you having a cry that will bring home, like, the heart of the story, the importance of the story. Like, this is the Oscar moment. Okay. You know, this is the...
Yeah. Can you give me a bit of, like, so what's the backstory of the character? Oh, okay.
I can't tell you.
You want me to go to a very emotional place.
You've got to go there.
Okay.
And I can't tell you what the project is at the moment, but you're perfect for it.
Okay.
And
Steve, can I call you Steve?
I prefer it at the moment. You didn't.
Mr. Spielberg.
Mr. Spielberg would be fine for now, or Stephen.
Okay, Stephen. Look, ordinarily, you know, I would want some time to prepare for something like this, but, you know, I understand this is a great opportunity, and I'm going to do my best.
Thank you.
It's a bit difficult without knowing the circumstances that I'm in, because obviously there's different levels of sadness. You know, is it grief? Is it related to a tragic event? Is it shock? Happy for me to just find my own way through
it? The truth of it is that it's all those three things. And it's important that you bring all those three things to the table.
And do you want me to build to the tears, or do you want me to just hit the ground?
I want you to find it where you find it.
Okay. All right.
I can't direct this. Okay. This just needs to be one of those things that you're able to do.
And no dialogue. Just, you want me to just feel it and cry?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Maybe a no.
Okay.
You could, like, you know, like an anguish no of some kind would be.
All right. Yeah. Okay. In my own time?
In your own time.
You're not going to say, just have fun with it, like most directors.
Oh, do they?
That's the worst bit of, well, the worst bit of direction you can ever get is just have fun with
also,
it.
Also, in this circumstance,
don't.
Completely inappropriate. Yeah, one thing I would say is, don't have fun with it.
Just have some misery with
it. If I have one note for you.
Okay.
Don't have fun with it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I mean, it wasn't bad.
Oh, fucking hell. I mean, considering I had no context for that, Mr. Spielberg, I think that's a pretty darn good job.
Well, I just don't think it's going to get the job done on Schindler's List 2.
The Schindling. Schindler's List 2, the electric Schindaloo.
Schindler's second list. We found another list.
It's funnier. Don't worry, this one's a comedy. This is a good list. It's a list of awesome things.
Schindler's other list.
It's a list of the best theme parks in the world. It's a fun list.
Just love making lists. That's the thing. Like, all these real serious lists gets all the, but there's actually a real fun side to his list that has been overlooked throughout history.
Let's get to some mail, Will. We'd like to finish up with a bit of correspondence to our listeners. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. Go to everyonerelax.co. There's a little contact form there. This is actually concerns you, Amy. This came in from Rani. Now, Rani has suggested something. Yeah. Now, we were saying we have a tradition of calling all our producers Mike, because they've all been Mikes.
Yeah.
And then Amy comes along.
Can I just, before we get to like this, just this moment, because I discovered something about the, you know, Everyone Relaxes the world, right? We always think about TOEFOP as the producers being Mikes. We've got this long history of producers who are Mikes.
Yeah, on TOEFOP.
But during a period of time when I was working at Triple M, there was another Michael that came the mix, Michael James, who was producing Velocity. And I only, like, not all the episodes, but he was like, with, you know, because we were working together on the radio, he would often, because I was listening for my show to an old episode that Howie did with me, and he was there in the room and we were referring to him, and I was like, oh my God, we've just found ourselves an extra Michael.
We're an extra Mike. Pass the mic, as the Beastie Boys might say.
I mean, amazing.
So Rani has said, with Amy, you guys have missed a golden opportunity to call your new producer A-Mick.
A-Mick.
Now, I don't know why Rani's gone to A-Mick, but A-Mike.
A-Mike.
A-Mike. Because she's A-Mike, Amy, Mike, A-Mike.
I'm on the mic.
You're on the
Amy
mic?
Mike.
A-Mike.
A-Mike.
I like A-Mike.
Do you?
A-Mike.
How do you feel about it?
Because you are, she is A-Mike, but she's A-Mike. A-Mike.
Oh, no, I get it.
Okay, good. Just you don't want me to cry again, do you?
If you think the problem is that I don't understand the concept, then we're on different pages. How do you feel about it, Amy?
Well, if it helps at all, It's a funny thing because Amy is also not my real name. Amy is a nickname that I've had for my whole life.
Is that right?
If you reveal that your name is actually Mike.
That would be amazing. It'd be the longest con of all time.
No, my parents just decided, even though they called me Amelia, they were just like, I'll just call her Amy, and for as long as I can remember, I've been called Amy.
Like Dane Morgan is called Jeffrey.
Yes. All right.
But no, look, honestly, Amy... A Mike, whatever, you know, as long as I know when to hit the on button.
You don't like A Mike? A Mike.
Too much
It just
effort?
Rolls off the tongue, I
Does
thought.
Does it?
Well, we've had Mike Hal, podcast Mike, Mike the Third, A Mike.
A Mike.
A Mike, because it's Amy, A Mike.
Oh, no, again, you think.
I'm going to give you a break to think about it.
Okay.
But
I'm fine with whatever Amy's fine with.
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't put a name on you that you didn't want. I just thought that was a good solution because it differentiates A Mike from Mike the Third.
Yeah. But she could be her own person. Do you have a nickname? Do you have an actual, like, in real life nickname that you're willing to share with us on the
imaginary
Skull Crusher? The Destroyer.
Yeah, that's right.
People call me Amy's in high school, and then people call me by my last name a lot because there are lots of Amy's around. So sometimes people just call me Kimball.
Kimball.
Kimball. Dr. Richard Kimball.
Dr. Richard.
The Fugitive.
Exactly.
What if our producer was the Fugitive?
Oh, man. Would you be willing for social content to...
jump off a
track
waterfall.
Down the water.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's pretty good though. Kimball is a good name though, isn't it? Kimball.
I think it needs a snappier. Mm. I mean, not that Kimball isn't a great name, but it needs a snappier. Name. I just like, what about Fuji? Like the Fugitive Fugees.
The Fugees.
Yeah. The Fugitive Fuji La La.
Yeah. Well, you just in word association.
Yeah, try.
Is that what's happening? Okay, well, I mean, yes, we'll have
we'll workshop it. We're not there yet.
We've got time.
Yeah, I've got to say, I am stunned that you didn't go with A Mike. I'm not saying that.
You've had time to live with it. I was worried about. Okay, honestly, this is literally my only.
I may have even responded to that listener saying, "Hey,
yes, we're
using
doing
that."
This. 100%.
Will agrees with
Will
me.
Will would love it. Will, the one thing I know about Will, if I know Will, is he will immediately love this and not have any reservations about it at all. No, my only one was genuinely that I was like, are we trying, we've got like Amy's come in, she's her own person.
Mm-hmm.
Are we trying to make her like, are we dressing her, like, you know when Ned Flanders, like, had that the country singer stay over and then she woke up in the middle of the night and
just
and
like Maud.
Yeah, right. I was like, are we trying to
I guess because it's been organic with the other three mics.
Exactly. Are we trying to force this?
Yeah, all right.
You know what I mean? Like
Sure. Okay. Oh, let's leave it for now.
Are we trying to make fetch happen, Charlie?
If a nickname happens organically, it'll stick. So we'll stick with Amy for now. Because that's not even your name. I mean,
A-Mike.
We'll stick with Amy. A-Mike.
Well, can we
we'll see what
happens. Start with A-Mike and see how we feel.
You might remember, Will, a little while ago we had a doctor, Dr. Jem, write in with a story about treating a patient with a toe fox. Oh, yeah. Too. Here's okay. a little refresher in case for people don't remember. I turned to him and confirmed that it was a toe fop tattoo before going on to smirk at him and say, well, as you know, they've kept me laughing so I can keep you living.
I mean, good gear.
Great
good
stuff.
Material really to good. Someone who you would think
loves toe fop.
Well, loves toe fop. They've got a toe fop tattoo.
I thought this unexpected inside joke would definitely land, but this guy was either not as big a toe fop fan as his tattoo might suggest, or more realistically, was sick with COVID, as it turns out, and was now probably questioning the legitimacy of his doctor knowing that he spent his time listening to the nonsensical comedy conversation between two old mates rather than dedicating his time towards study. Okay, so that was the setup, and we wondered who was this mysterious patient. Well, we've heard from
the patient.
Yes, Nathan.
Oh, Nathan.
I am the tattooed COVID survivor.
Nathan.
Everybody relax. I love now that the listeners.
Yes, I mean, I enjoy
the branding
that,
is working.
Well, Nathan, this is excellent stuff.
Pretty sure I'm the tattooed COVID survivor mentioned in the recent Fiddletoad ep with the Foz-drawn cartoon heads inked on my leg. Tattooed back in about 2017, so I'm pretty sure I qualify for being a true teabagger, Charlie, because I did question maybe this person wasn't as big a fan because they didn't immediately respond to the doctor's joke. In typical toe fop form, Chucky overthinks wild, crazy, awesome ideas until Will slowly shuffles in with some accurate possible possibilities, which is such a perfect description of this show. Me, like, veering off wildly into some, like, fantasy and then you just very calmly bringing everything back to a level pegging. Yes, CC, I was more worried about trying to actually breathe and slow down my accelerated heart rate as I lay half naked in the ED awaiting multiple test results. The first two COVID tests actually came back negative. However, finding out not only one doctor, but two doctors that were treating me that freezing cold morning were also fellow teabaggers. Yes. So Dr. Jem wasn't the only one.
We are the number one medical podcast by medical professionals.
It filled me with relief knowing I was in good hands. Well, that was really what I wanted to like get across was that if you're a teabagger and you for some reason have to go to hospital, just know that we're looking after you. We've kept them laughing.
Mate, this is how you start an Illuminati. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like this is, everyone gets a little cough up. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's totally.
Yes, for the medical system.
Yeah, and by the way, we did sort of speculate that maybe we could come up with some toe fop medical bracelets. I've looked into it.
Yeah.
It's actually quite cheap. We can mass produce some toe fop medical bracelets, like if there is demand for it.
Yeah.
But we can get them made, but I was talking to Gemma about it and she's like, but is that going to be an issue if someone actually gets into a real accident
and they like, look at what does this mean?
And it says, we keep you laughing, so they keep you living. I mean, like, so I don't know.
Give them a nice little moment. Tell us if you're a medical professional, maybe weigh in on this. You're probably the people that we should, in that moment, would you be like, check their bracelet.
Yeah.
Like see what their allergies are. And then you're like, oh, they listen to toe fop.
Well, I guess though. Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, are we being unethical in...
Is it disrespectful?
Yeah, because
it's
people
getting
genuinely...
in the way? Are we causing problems?
Yeah, it's like, do we have toe fop branded wheelchairs as a joke or something like that? These people actually need these things.
Yeah, exactly. Or is that like a fun thing? Should I be putting out a range of wheelchairs as like a fun merchandising
some Charlie Crutches
exactly, yeah.
Okay, two doctors were fellow teabaggers. It filled me with relief. Or if I had died, it could have made for good mailbag content at least. My apologies for not writing in sooner, but I couldn't find a fax machine. I mean, Nathan's really showing
Nathan,
his
you don't
deep
need
cut.
To prove.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need to prove anything despite Charlie's wild accusations that he must have made at the time.
I also had a new lease on life and I wanted to go out and enjoy it. So I left hospital and I spent the last 14 months driving in a van around Australia with my fiance.
Nice.
I know, that's really good. Also, why am I hearing the sound of Mr. CXC's voice in my head as I write this, as he's getting all flustered and stumbling over the words and complaining and yelling at clouds and who's been as who's? Yes, Chuckles, you are old. Anyway, love the work, guys. Keep it up. Well, Nathan, I'm glad you're feeling better. And that sounds like a great way to kind of bounce back from a near-death experience. Jump in a van with your fiance and drive around Australia for like 14 months.
COVID from state to state.
That's right. Hey. Okay. How long have we done? That seems like an episode, doesn't it? Yeah. All right. Cool. We'll wrap it up there. Will, what have you got going on?
Live shows. I'm on tour.
Yeah.
At the point people are hearing this, it's happening. At the point we're recording this, it hasn't quite happened yet. But at the point people are hearing this, I am on the road with my new show, Will Legitimate. As we are recording this, I'm about a week from it starting. And so it's all one idea. It hasn't been tried before I go to Adelaide. And now I'm really in that zone of just completely like
shitting yourself.
I'm like, have I made a massive mistake?
Just make sure you're catching with like sheets of cardboard. Trust me, you'll need it at some point.
So anyway, that is touring all over Australia and then all over the world. So comedy.com.au if you want to do that. And obviously check out all the other podcasts.
Monday to Thursday, baby.
Plus some bonus episodes. There was an episode of Confessions, Sam Peterson's podcast, who was a Tofop with Friends, I guess, and there was an episode of his podcast that went in the feed. We drop in all sorts of, bonus content in there as well. So just everyone subscribe to Everyone Relax and you'll find all our stuff there.
All right, that is Tofop for this week. I'm Charlie Clausen.
And I'm Will Anderson.
Listener.